Recording in progress.
Good morning, excuse me, all. Nkululeko, are there any apologies from committee members?
Good morning, Chairperson. The only apology we received from Ms. Amarehane, but she will connect shortly.
Okay, I just want to see very quickly. I see there are a lot of people whose names I don't recognize, so presumably, some of them have got where they come from. So presumably the stakeholders are here. You said all but one could come to you. Is that correct? Hello?
Sorry, that's correct, Chairperson. Stakeholders are here. It's only one that has apologized.
Fine. Okay. Secondly, just to remind people, you've got the agenda. We're going to have Treasury reply. We receive their replies. And then we will have the stakeholders reply to that. Given that there are so many, I think 3 minutes will do, and then we will engage and then decide on how to take things forward. May I once again remind stakeholders, look, Treasury, I know what's going to happen. Well, in some other measure, at least, you're going to say, well, yeah, okay, we look at these issues, but they don't really, strictly speaking, fall within our domain as the end, because they don't have implications to provinces, since most of these issues are national. Now, we said this last week, and I'm saying it again to the stakeholders. Your first port of call, as it were, is the National Assembly. If you go there and then fail to get what you want, you can certainly raise it to us again. That's not an issue that we have a problem with. But remember, we don't have the power to change things or to sort of coerce or negotiate with our colleagues on that side, any side, and persuade them. Another 76 bill, okay? So this thing of repeatedly coming here when some of you don't even go to the NA is not helpful to you. And then you feel like how you come to us, you make earnest representations to us, some of which is politically, intellectually, policy-wise compelling, and we say, yeah, yeah, and nothing happens. But then that's the constitution, that's the law, that we have these roles. Otherwise, we become a National Assembly Mark II. That's the whole point of having two different houses that do exactly the same thing. But having said that, I have looked more carefully at the presentations and I've looked carefully at those policy issues that arise. And I think national attrition, some of these issues that I urge our content advisor, Esther, and the team to look into on our report, putting out some of the issues that we can't attend to in this process, but national attrition needs to apply to mind to, and the stakeholders be urged to take to the National Assembly next year. Now, also to say, we'll come back to all of that. Welcome, everybody. Over then to, there's one thing I should say. You know, we have a wonderful secretary colleague, as I keep saying, but he can be very, very insensitive. It's not my fault that FIFA chose to have the World Cup at the very end of our parliamentary year. And then he rings me when Senegal's playing. And when he rings me, of course, it's just when after Senegal held Dutch at about the 83rd minute. I mean, look at that. The Dutch were one semi-finalist in the World Cup, right? And Senegal's our best hope. Just when he rings me, Senegal had a goal against it. So it was very depressing when he's asking me things like, are we going to start at 1 o'clock, Chairperson, or 2 o'clock on Friday? And I'm thinking, wow, can't he wait another half an hour? So I think we should move a resolution at the end that when the committee is not sitting and when the parliament plenary is not sitting, he should allow himself to look at the World Cup matches and then see who's playing. The qualifying rounds, he's out of any South American team. No phone calls to the chair. Anybody disagree with that? No, I see nobody disagrees. That's moved in Nkululeko, please. Not, and in the last qualifying round, I will not be available except to do my work. And finally, I would like us to move a resolution of seconding myself, PFAS insensitivity. I think even the DA will agree with this and the EFF and FF. To have the World Cup final on the 18th of December, knowing that the ANC is having a 5-week conference and there's real things to attend to and who wins the World Cup. Cut. I want you to write a letter, Secretary Nkululeko. I've moved and seconded so nobody can, in terms of Rule 615B, actually contest that. Write to FIFA and tell them we are deeply disappointed with this. Now, finally, can go to court and say, well, that's an ANC matter because the FF is not having a conference. Because the FF, when it has a conference on one day, it has about 25 delegates, right? So it's easy for them. But for us, it's 4,772 delegates. Am I right? 6,000 people attending. So that's tougher. Okay, over to that. Now, let's focus on the issues before us as a committee, the major issues are dealt with. Now, let's go for it. And please, colleagues, let's give earnest attention, teased attention to the amendments being proposed, because I think there's a lot of value. Well, there's quite a bit of value in some, and maybe I'm not sure yet, value in the others, except I'm not sure what we do with it. And members, when we engage around this, can we look for how we can maybe, for those things that we agree with, actually propose some amendments? Okay, over to National Treasury.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning. Paul, can you please put the presentation on screen? Thank you, Chair. As you know, this year in the beginning, when the bills were published for public land, we had four tax bills. There was the race bill, there was the taxation bill, there was the amendment bill administration laws amendment bill. The race bill was first published for public comment on the budget day, again on 29 July, together with other three tax bills. Tax were taken for public comment. The closing date for public comment was 29 August. On 23 August, we briefed the Standing Committee on Finance, and on 8 and 9 September, we had the workshops on the draft tax bill. So what happened is that during the public consultation process and when we're doing the response statement, because now you see only three tax bills, that with regard to the amendment bill dealing with the two courts, based on the number of comments received, the issues that we felt resolving, it was decided that the regular bill should not be discussed by the minister in parliament with the other tax bills during the MPPS. So only the three tax bills were tabled during MPPS on 6 October. So the revenue amendment bill delivered the two court was not tabled. In terms of the process, what is going to happen? We're going to do another revised draft bill and publish the results of public comments. And then this text has another round of consultation before further changes can be made, final changes can be made in the bill and then the bill is introduced. So even now there are three tests. So the three tests were taken by the minister on 26 October 2022. On 15 November 2022, the court by the reparations and consideration as the committee for the election. And then on the 15th November, we did pre-organization by the taxpayers. And then to November, we are doing the response. So, Chair, our response is only limited to issues raised during the SECOF oral presentation. And those issues on the race bill relate to increase in excise duty on tobacco, that is the race bill, the postponement of the health promotion levy, that is the race bill, and on the TLAB, the key issues that have been raised is from the next side, electronic nicotine and nicotine delivery system, that is the vaping as well as carbon tax. So our responses today will only be limited to those issues that we raised during SEPCOF's oral presentation team. And then, with regard to the draft rate increase on top and health promotion, Mpho will be leading. Over to you, Mpho. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Yanga, and good morning, honorable members and stakeholders. With regard to the increase in excise duties on tobacco products, the comments that we have received was that the proposed 5.5% tax increase is substantially below the current level of inflation, which is reported to be above 7%, and that the increase was less than the 8% that was implemented last year. And the proposal there was that the excise tax should be raised to 10% for cigarettes. Chair, we know the comment from the stakeholder, but our response is to say that at the time of the budget, when the expenses were increased, the increases were above the anticipated inflation for 2022. So at the time, the excise duty rate was above the expected inflation rate. And also, though the excise duties for this year were less than the 8% last year, our view is that just so about the anticipated inflation when we made the budget. So the 10% inflation for this year, that will fit into the budget. When it comes to the issue around the delaying the inflationary increase on the health promotion levy, I think everybody will know that the minister made an announcement regarding the delayed implementation of the inflation increase on health promotion levy. Consultation with the Minister of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development, and the Minister of Trade, Industry and Competition, and all the announcement in the budget around the consultation process that will begin to look at the extending of the levy to 100% fruit juice and lowering of the current threshold that is applicable on the health promotion levy. The comment that we received was that the stakeholders the postponement of the implementation of the inflationary increase on health promotion day. But the comment that specifically came from the sugar industry was the delay must be sufficient. So consideration should be made around extending the delay for a period of 3 to 5 years. To give the industry sufficient time so that it can look at alternative uses to and for we know that SSS engagements will be undertaken with regarding the review that Minister spoke about. Decisions are around this request. Will be made by the minister and then communicated in the appropriate time. You can say whether that will be considered or not. I think it's the minister's decision to make around that. When it comes to the issues on the electronic nicotine and non-nicotine delivery systems, we have proposed that a flat rate be applied to rank 90 per mil, regardless of the nicotine content or of the illiquid solutions, and also that the effective date from January 2020. After further consultation with the with SARS, was postponed to the 1st of June 2023 to allow SARS to implement the administration system for the implementation of the legislation on vaping, and all of those amendments I included in the TLEF for this year. So the comments that we have received, we've received comments both on the excise structure and the rate, and then also on the administration for the implementation of the tax on non-vaping. One of the comments with regards to the excise structure and the rate was that the taxation of cigarettes should be to reduce consumption of this harmful product, and more specifically to prevent youth from starting use. We note the comment that has been made, and our assessment when we made the proposal around the 290 per mil, we feel that it is comparable to the current excise duty rate applied to vaping products globally, and then we indicated that when we presented on that when we had the stakeholder consultations to show that the comparable excise duty rate applied elsewhere with regards to, and at this stage that because this is comparable, of protecting the most vulnerable groups and also making the product unaffordable or inaccessible to the youth. But again, with other excise duty rates that appeared in the annual budget, the minister will make decisions around the adjustments to the excise duty rate budget process. That we have received for Hillary should consider up increasing the excise duty to 100 mil as opposed to the 290 mil that is proposed, and also to apply a flow rate 50 rand per unit. And again, our response to that is that businesses who are starting with the investigation of vaping products, this is just the beginning, and an intro rate. And again, we feel that it is comparable to the rates that are applied elsewhere. And then we will also be monitoring that as the implementation goes on, and then advise the minister accordingly. And then necessary adjustments then will be made by the minister process. Another comment that we have received was that National Treasury should apply ad valorem taxes on the devices and other accessories, and not just to focus on e-solutions. And we had addressed that in the discussion paper that we published last year, that Africa currently we separate schedule.
I mean, look and read what they are, unless it's just otherwise, and they can just intervene if they so feel. I think we can pick up what you said. Okay, go ahead, doesn't matter.
Okay.
Hello. You might want to cut your video off. That might.
I'm just saying that we haven't explored. Okay, thanks, Chair. Okay.
Yeah, I'll switch him with you. It seems for now.
Am I audible, Chair?
Go right ahead for now.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Said that we had an alpharium schedule, and then we said this for the future where we need to include device in the video. Another issue that with regards to the administration, the vaping product, the vaping market is currently expanded, and you would have quite a administration for that, and therefore we will need to in a robust administration for the implementation. So that every player in the sector applies. And we would comment and SARS, the agency, they with regards to the implementation of extra policy regime, they apply with regards to licensing and registration of taxpayers, and committed itself to do that. Also, the stakeholders would around the administration to administration. And then another issue was that we should consider part of the administration the implementation of the electronic track and trace system so that the effect full implementation of the system. And our response is that the National Department of Health is leading around the ratification of the WHO protocol on elimination of trade on tobacco products. They are also in legislation to incorporate into the regulatory framework. Once the ratification is done of the protocol, the implementation of check and trace system to all the products, including in state. And another issue on administration was with regards to the lean requiring money, because there is different with our response is that as the Department of Health is currently revising the legislation with regards to the regulation of the sector, the legislation will empower the Minister of Health to regulate a number of aspects with regards to that will include issues around labeling. And again, there was a request around putting the implementation date of the exercise to the 1st of January 2024, and then it was on our the issue around putting in place the systems that are required. Our is that we have in the postponement in the legislation to the first two as opposed to the initial to be implemented first of January. So we have already postponed to consider the concerns from SARS around allowing them time to put administrative in place. So that is already care of. For them to be able to put administrative in place and then also do necessary consultations with regards to license and registration for. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Yanga.
Thank you, Paul.
Uhle o Chris doing carbon tax.
Thank you. Good morning to the chair and to the committee at large and everyone on the call. I will be sitting on the section of the comments. To the next slide, please. Thank you. So in terms of the 22 announcement, the announcement was that the phase of the carbon tax revenue recycling be led by 3 years, which was in December of 2025. And this is to assist companies' transition and aid economic recovery holistically in the country. And the second phase of the tax, taking into account our energy commitments and efforts to meet the 1.5 degree temperature and proposals include ramping up carbon tax from 2026 to 2030 and to strengthen the carbon signals. Others, with the aim to provide policy certainty, you can stick to the previous slide, please. Thank you. So this is with the aim to provide policy certainty.
Recording in progress.
30 US dollars per ton of carbon dioxide equivalent in 2030. In order to give account, in order to give effect to the carbon tax rate announcements that were made in the budget of 2022, the following amendments were made in the 2022 draft TLAB. Firstly, from the period 2023 to 2025, it is proposed that amendments are made to the Carbon Tax Act to provide for the carbon tax rate adjustment by 1, 2, and 3 US dollar per ton of CO2 respectively for the years 2023, 2024 to 2025. In terms of the period 2026 to 2030, it is proposed that amendments are made to the Carbon Tax Act to give effect to a tax rate increase up to 20 US dollars per ton of CO2 in 2026 and 30 US dollars per ton of CO2 in 2030. And for the periods 2027 to 2029, it has been proposed that Section 5.2 of the Carbon Tax Act should provide for rate increases of 2.5 US dollar per year for that time period. We can move on to the next slide, please. So in terms of the comments, the first sort of section of comments that we'll respond to are in terms of the tax rate trajectory. Next slide, thank you. So the comment generally that were presented last week at the public hearings were that the proposed carbon tax rate increases are insufficient in order to deter major emitters from continuing with their current emitting business models or to create any meaningful impact on greenhouse gas emission reductions. So the comments were that it is strongly suggested and recommended that the National Treasury should consider strong price increases over to ensure more rapid decarbonization, which would align with higher prices in 2030. The response is that these comments are noted and that the first phase of the carbon tax has been extended in light of the impact of COVID-19, the economic impacts that the pandemic has had, and therefore to allow economic recovery. Although the proposed rates in the TLAB are perhaps below the carbon prices that are required to fully internalize the externality cost of climate change, they would start to align with the average effective carbon tax rates that are implemented globally. This would also send an important price signal to drive future investment decisions by corporates and the companies that invest in low carbon technologies and energy efficiency measures now would have a lower carbon tax liabilities. It is also recommended in our response that increases in the carbon tax rate post-2030 should be aligned with the best available science that is related to effective greenhouse gas emission reductions and in accordance with South Africa's effective national determined contributions at the time. Next slide, please. So the next comments are in regard to the allowances that are implemented under the carbon tax. You can move on, Paul. Thank you. I think previous slide, Paul. Thank you. So the comment was that while the rationale behind the provision of allowances as a means of providing time for industries to make the move towards carbon reduction before the full price effect is delivered is understood, the basic deduction or allowance of 50% across the board seems to undermine the effectiveness of the carbon tax and will increase the effective shock when it is removed. As such, the comments were that it is recommended for the following allowances to be removed. That is the basic allowance, the trade exposure allowance, the performance, and the carbon budget allowance. So in terms of the Treasury response, these comments are noted and that the carbon is intended to help reduce the price differential between low and high carbon emitting technologies. The current design of the carbon tax provides for tax reallowances and revenue recycling measures to support industry transitions and to minimize potential adverse impacts on industries, on also on poor and low income households. The carbon tax as it stands does not include a sunset date on the transition allowances, which is the allowances that are noted above. Therefore, provision for the retention of these allowances is not required. And lastly, in this point, a paper on the phase two of the carbon tax will be published in 2023. This will include design options for the carbon tax allowances, and consultations with stakeholders will be held once the paper is published. The next slide, please, Paul. Thank you. The next comments are with regard to specifically the offsets allowance as well as the carbon sequestration deduction. So the comment is that the carbon offsets should be exclusively reserved for hard to abate sectors, and that for most sectors in the economy, abatement options are technically available, and that these would be enforced with a higher carbon price, and that in such sectors, there is therefore a likelihood that offsetting would mediate against real mitigation action, since there's a risk associated with the achievement and long-term efficacy of offsets. And therefore, hard-to-abate sectors such as cement, the ability to pay for real removals elsewhere in the economy could be essential. Therefore, government should identify priority sectors for carbon budget allocation and carbon offset allowances, potentially exclude some sectors with unavailable process emissions that do not align with long-term low carbon trajectory. The second comment is that the manner in which the sequestration deduction is applied is not supported, and that the carbon sequestration deduction in plantations is problematic in terms of the overall carbon, carbon balance. So the response is that we note that there is a limitation to the amount of offsets that could be used in the carbon tax system. However, future adjustments in the tax reallowances for hard-to-abate sectors will take into account the availability of mitigation technologies and the pace and scale of the transition over the next decade. Adjustments in terms of the carbon offsets allowance may be done through a consultative process in order to plan accordingly for the future of the offsets market. In terms of the sequestration, it is noted that it is important for the accounting of carbon dioxide removals from the atmosphere under whether it's financial mechanisms or emission reduction mitigation actions should be permanent, and that the carbon sequestration deduction under the Carbon Tax Act takes into account the DFSE guidelines on accounting for permanence of sequestrated carbon dioxide. And these guidelines take into account sequestration for harvested wood products as well as other wood-based product manufacturing facilities. Thank you. That is it from the carbon tax.
Thank you,
Chair. That is the end of our responses based on the comments made last week. Thank you.
Thank you. Now we will start with the stakeholders. We'll take them in the order you appeared. So it's the Medical Research Council. Can you go first, please?
Thank you very much, Chair. I hope you can hear me.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah. So I'm Dr. Catherine Egbe. I'm a specialist scientist and the Alcohol, Tobacco and Other Drug Research Unit of the South African Medical Research Council. I just want to emphasize on one issue that was raised in the comments from other stakeholders. So it was the insinuation that these products, electronic cigarettes, were being used as cessation aids. And I remember someone saying that it actually saved his life. I just want to refer also to one of the studies they referred to, which was the Cochrane Review, looking at cessation effect of e-cigarettes. I must mention that that study is based on six studies, which has less than 3,000 participants. And it was focused on randomized control trials. And randomized control trials are designed to study the effectiveness of medicines delivered under clinical supervision. So we heard the VPASA representative categorically stating that the electronic cigarette as they are in the country are not being pushed as cessation aids by the manufacturers, but as consumer products, which means that until their position changes, we must examine these products as they are, as products that are used as, by people when they buy them, and not as medicines. Firstly, consumer products are supposed to be taxed. And secondly, what have we found about the use of these products, which are consumer products, in the South African population? In our study that had over 18,000 participants, we found that e-cigarettes are not helping smokers to quit for good. We also found that e-cigarette was actually depressing quitting. That means it was making smokers less likely to quit on the long run. And then we also found that many users of these products were now using both that product and cigarettes, thereby compounding the health effects of these products on their health. I believe that the focus on the tax on these products should also actually be mostly hinged on the promotion of health and the prevention of young people from being able to access it. There was also a statement made by one of the presenters about the study that was done by a colleague at the University of Cape Town, saying that these studies were only done among rich people. I believe that rich or poor, we are all human beings. Anything that affects anyone negatively should be of concern to us. And so it's on this point that we continue to make the case that e-cigarettes should be taxed at a level that would make it unaffordable to young people, because nicotine, as it is, affects the brains of growing children, and nicotine itself is not harmless, and that we need a proper... Thank you.
You got to round up, please.
Thank you. I'm done.
Saying you must start mid-stage. Just round up.
Okay.
You made your point very well, though. Yeah,
yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so just to round up, the bottom line is that we want something that will protect the health of the population. And it's on that we stand as South African Medical Research Council. That is our mandate by the government. And that is what we stand. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. When I say you presented it very well, it doesn't mean you necessarily agree. It's just that it's a very cogent presentation.
But you don't want to praise me.
No. I just myself. We shouldn't you see, then somebody from Beijing will come and argue, studies. Now, look, we don't have the capacity to evaluate and assess, these scientific studies. They're not necessary. These are things that fall within the purview of the health department, as my colleague Dennis raised. But nevertheless, we're learning much of what you say with due respect. The basic thrust of what you're saying, we know. But each time when we meet the stakeholders, we learn more and more about the latest studies and so on. But thank you for that. Can we stick with 3 minutes, if possible? Because we've read your submissions, we've now got this reply, and we need to have the time now to look at what our policy decisions are and what we can do within the constraints that the NCOP operates. Well, once again, there are rules and constitutional obligations that define what we can and can't do. Honourable Lives. Greenpeace, are you here? 3 minutes, please, as far as possible. I'm timing you. Yeah. Okay. Greenpeace. Nkululeko, are they here?
Yes, Chairperson. I saw Tandile is here. Tandile?
Maybe she got cut off. We can come back to her. You can WhatsApp her and let her know that she's due to speak if she wants whenever.
Okay. Well,
not whenever. Ideally next hour or so.
Okay, cool.
Life After Coal, are you here? Life After Coal? It's possible it's load shedding, so if people come back in Coleco, or anybody else notices them, please, they have a right to speak here. National Council Against Smoking?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Yeah, please go ahead.
And I also want to thank the Treasury and staff for their response. I just have two comments. First one is that I noticed that in their response, they do emphasize that the proposed rates for taxing e-cigarettes are comparable to what other countries have done. And our own assessment is that there's high disparity in how countries have taxed e-cigarettes. But I think a priority is to look at our own South African market. And our point remains that the proposed rates will not make any significant impact on making the product unaffordable, especially for the products like the disposable e-cigarettes, which are very cheap and which the youth are already using. So that really is my first point, that we need to still emphasize our own South African market. And the second point is I do also notice that there are comments made on ratification of the WHO protocol to eliminate illicit trade. And on this, I just wanted to bring the chair and the committee as well to your 2021 report that you made in March 2021. And in this report, the committee recommended that the protocol be ratified unless there were good, strong reasons not to do so. And the committee also made a recommendation that they needed a briefing on this. And they recommended that National Treasury engage with NDOH, engage with SARS, report back in the next quarterly report. Those really are my comments. Thank you, Chair.
What you are saying there is very important. And we must follow up in Kuleko on what happened. You see, when we say follow up, there's a strange thing. Let me explain. The Money Bills Act says you do a single report for both committees. I have my own issues about that, especially when it comes to the fiscal framework, okay? Because strictly speaking, now that I'm on this side, I realize that, you know, of course, the division of revenue is very important, perhaps the most important function you play on this side. But, you know, we can't like, for example, we don't have the capacity, because the same committee does both appropriations and finance. So we don't have the capacity of a quarterly review with National Treasury and SARS. So I think the National Assembly does this. Well, we used to do it in the last term. Every quarter they used to meet with Treasury and SARS and review progress in the last quarter. And that's where they meant to have followed up on these issues. In Nkululeko, can you actually raise this with Alan Wickham and check what has happened? Now, can you also, our contest advisor, note what has just been said? Because it's a commitment we made. We can't just make these commitments and not follow up. And if the NA hasn't done it, we will do it. We will call them in and ask them, what have you done since we adopted this report? Okay, are we agreeing on that? Any objections? Here to be content advisor, you've got one proposal already for recommendations. We must just do what we say we're going to do. Is any hand up opposing that? No. So that's our agreement. We will do it, and let's invite you, madam, if you're available. In Nkululeko, are you connected with us right now, or are you busy looking for stakeholders?
I'm connected, Chairperson. Yes, the next.
Right, so you noted that as well. Can you throw it in the report, please? Right.
Okay.
All of you, all of you. Poppy's here, hopefully, as well. All right, good. Next. Who's next now? Has anybody been found yet who was meant to precede this submission?
Not yet, Chairperson, but the next stakeholder, Peter, is here.
Yeah, is here. Tobacco, alcohol, and gambling advocacy.
May I please have permission to share my screen, Mr. Chair?
Yeah, of course. You don't need my permission. Just go ahead and put it on. You can speak to it on the meanwhile.
You can share now, Peter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. Let's have a look at the proposal. It's really the proposal that's important. The WHO said that the biggest selling brands in South Africa, they did an entire world survey, was 4360 for 20. So let's say 2180 for 10. 10 will be a bit more expensive, but we'll use 2180. Current tax is 939. We'll ignore that first line because SARS is now proposing a 10% increase, which is 94% increase on the tax, which is only 4.3% of the retail sales. And more youth will start smoking. We propose a 25% increase on this element of the cost of cigarettes. R2.35, it becomes on the retail selling price. And remember, the inflation is only 7%. So 25% increase on the tax element is the proposal. Vitally important that that's what we do. Anything else than that, for health. Mr. Chairman, just a word of caution to the committee and everybody else. We said in our last presentation that the terrible trio of D's, which the use of these products does, is disease, disability, and death. And it's important to remember, disease, disability, and death occurs in all provinces. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are, if you use these products, you can develop disease, you can become disabled, and you can die. The industry will promote their own horrible huddle of D's, and that's divert, delay, and dilute. You talk about tax, talk about illicit trade. You say we'll implement in January 23, they'll say January 25. Dilute, you say 10% tax, they'll say 2%. You say 50% tax, they'll say 10%. Please be aware of those facts. Please increase the tax that it affects the retail selling price, makes the products less affordable. More people will quit using them, and especially the electronic devices, the youth won't start using them, and then they won't get converted onto combustible cigarettes. It's a wonderful process of saving lives and protecting our youth and our adults in all provinces. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I hope that SARS is listening to these facts.
Hi, yeah, they'll be listening. They're always here. I'm sure Thomas Beck is here, Franz. Is he here? Franz, are you here, my friend? Oh, I don't see him today. Oh. Okay. Well, SARS people are here. Aren't they younger?
Yes, they are Franz. Here.
Yeah. Oh, Franz is here. Okay. Well, you know, it's a treasury policy issue more than a SARS issue. But anyway, there we are. Okay. So let's move to the next person. Let's use that the list of stakeholders. After that is BAT.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. So my comments are in relation to the proposed vaping tax. And I'd like to start by thanking the National Treasury for noting our comments. However, there are two pertinent points that I'd like to raise. Firstly, on the 1st June 2023 implementation date, we respectfully submit that this date is far too ambitious. It's a highly fragmented market with more unknowns than knowns, and SARS will need to fully understand this market, including the workings of the large do-it-yourself mixing market, before agreeing to specific timing. Once the market is understood, then SARS will need to consult on multiple issues with industry actors, such as bond requirements, payment terms, reporting requirements, security requirements for bonded warehouses, documentation requirements, measuring tooling requirements. I can go on and on with numerous examples here. Companies will also need to update their ERP systems and put governance and reporting processes and procedures in place. We need to bear in mind that this will be the first time that the vast majority of industry actors have ever had to deal with an excisable product. Therefore, a more appropriate date would be 1 January 2024 in our view. Secondly, on the proposed excise rate, the comparable analysis presented by National Treasury does, with respect, not take into account purchasing power parity and product prices in the South African market. In fact, the proposed South African excise rate of R2.90 per milliliter will be one of the most unaffordable in the world. The excise would also cause certain products in the market to double in price. One needs to be cognizant of the fact that comparing an introductory rate to rates in an established excise regime may lead to a situation in South Africa where there is immediate non-compliance and fiscal evasion. One only needs to look at examples from Europe on how the legal market was decimated when high introductory rates were implemented. So it is clear that South Africa should err on the side of caution when putting in an introductory rate. Based on multiple analysis performed by us, as well as commissioned analysis by Oxford Economics, we are strongly of the view that the introductory rate should be around 70 cents per mil. The 70 cents per mil introductory rate will allow SARS to broaden its tax net and test the administrative system. Once all the actors in the market are brought into the tax net, then the rate can be appropriately increased. I thank you again, Chair and Honourable Members, for the opportunity to present.
Thank you. You, like others, have all, except for Catherine, observed 3 minutes. Yeah, who's back?
Yeah. Prentice is back.
Fine. You go for it now. Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Catherine, the next time you appear, I don't think you know the rules. We're going to take away 45 seconds from your input, including for please. Catherine, we're not serious. Okay, Dan, who's next? Go for it, please. You got 3 minutes. Thank you. Has the person been disconnected again in Kulik?
Would that be me that is following?
Yes.
Yeah, who's this?
This is Tandile from Greenpeace Africa.
Yeah, we asked you to speak. You were disconnected. Now you're back. Thank you. Yes, go for it. 3 minutes. Thank you, Greenpeace.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to present to this committee on Greenpeace Africa's submissions regarding the carbon tax. We recognize the difficulty in which this committee had to weigh a number of factors from business, civil society as well. But we would just like to re-emphasize our support for a higher carbon tax, as well as doing away with the length at which the phase one components of the act have been extended. We feel strongly that the externalities that have been cited by business, job losses, as well as the cost on the economy are the same externalities that will be experienced should we surpass that 1.5 degrees Celsius target that we are clearly headed for. We implore the government to create the security measures and the certainty that we've afforded business as well to the public to be able to prepare for those mitigation and adaptation measures that are necessary to insulate us from the externalities that we will experience as a result of the climate crisis. We call for the removal of Clause 6.2c, which provisions allow for double incentives from these tax allowances. And we also call for the removal of Clause 21a, focusing on sequestration, as sequestration and off-carbon offsetting allows these carbon majors to avoid their responsibilities in terms of mitigating their emissions, while also allows for the commodification of natural resources. It puts the communities that are in charge or that are stewards for these environments in jeopardy, as they are most of the time not consulted efficiently in these management practices. And these offsetting schemes often endanger indigenous people and the land that they work on. And investment in top-down management forested areas can exacerbate social justice issues. So we ask the committee to take these issues into consideration and consider allowing society and public at large to be able to prepare for the impacts that the climate crisis poses towards them, and instead of favoring business. Thank you.
Now, members, here's somebody who, in the space of 2 minutes and 21 seconds, set out her case so clearly. Tandile, if you're ever looking for a job, you might apply for a job that I would create if I had any say. teaching MPs, including the chair of a certain committee, whose name I shall not mention, because I don't want to embarrass him right now, because he's talking right now, on how to speak and cover so many issues so precisely, so competently and so clearly in such short time. I hope you're listening, Dennis Ryder and Fani and Simon Moletsane. Of course, this doesn't apply to ANC members. The training is mostly for the non-ANC members here. Right, you can't reply, Fani, Moletsane and Dennis right now. Before I finish, and hand over to the next person, please remember we have to sit behind when this hearing is over to look at the program for the next 2 to 3 weeks. Because between appropriation and finance, we are meeting almost every day now. And we've sorted out between the two secretaries some 1 or 2 clashes. So on Friday, let me alert you, we're sitting in the morning in appropriations and at 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock in finance, okay? Just to alert you. Okay, but we will discuss that in a moment. I forgot to mention that at the outset. Okay, so is anybody else found who was meant to be here and wasn't when they turned came? We got Greenpeace, then Life After Coal wasn't here, am I correct?
Yes, Chairperson, you are correct.
Are they been found?
I still don't see them on the platform.
Somebody in the chat group here is saying Gabriel, not here from Center for, just want to confirm. Ah, they've apologized. Okay, no, we understand. If they want to write to us, they can do so. Look, the other thing, can I urge, I don't know if you spoke to them in Koleko, but all of you have made submissions. I mean, they're so good, right? I must say it's immensely good submissions. I don't think for a long time I've come across submissions like this. Maybe on sugar beverages tax, because you might remember. I mean, the quality of the inputs then are fantastic. Look, we say this on the fiscal framework. We would prefer you, each of you, to write a page, up to a page, a summary, rather than leaving it to our team to summarize what you say. A page, maybe a page and a quarter, and between us as chair and them, we can edit some of it. But rather than taking your whole submission, Peter Uko will probably do it in half a page with the clarity and the style he uses. But what I'm saying is we'd prefer you to highlight what you think are the key issues that go into the report, especially as these are issues that Treasury SARS and the committee on the SCOF side and ourselves have to deal with, mainly SCOF. That's the Standing Committee of Finance. So I really think you should do this and submit it. What's today? Today is Tuesday. By Thursday evening, if possible, please. Or even tomorrow evening, because you're so good at what you do. You can do it by tomorrow, 5 o'clock. How about that? Those of you who can't, well, the following day.
They have, Chairperson.
Oh, they have already. Great. Okay. Well, they have done it. Great. No, I'm not surprised, actually. We didn't exchange over this. BAT has spoken. Then we've got Josh Shea. Are you here, Josh Shea?
I don't see Robin on the platform as well, Chairperson. From Josh Shea.
Was Robin here earlier?
I know.
Was she here earlier? Oh, all right. Okay. If she comes in, she's free to speak whenever before we part. Research Unit on Economics of Fashionable Products.
Yes, I'm here. This is Cornet from Robbie speaking.
Go for it, Mike.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I don't envy your job and I don't envy the committee's job because you have to listen to everybody and weigh up all the evidence that is being put before you. And I think at essence, what we have here, especially when it comes to e-cigarette taxes and cigarette taxes, and also included with that alcohol taxes, is basically a trade-off between health and commercial interests. And effectively, the choice is, are you going to give more weight to the health interest or are you going to give more weight to the commercial interest? And that is then, of course, the decision that you have to make. And I'm glad that we can give input to you and we really appreciate that opportunity. But I'm glad that I'm not in your position. So, Chair, what I just briefly want to talk about is it is good to have a simple excise tax system. And I'd like to commend Treasury for, over the past number of decades already, implementing relatively simple and thus easy to implement tax systems on tobacco products. The proposal that is being made for e-cigarettes is also a relatively easy to implement tax system. It's a specific tax system. It does not require us to determine what is the value of products, because that becomes very, very messy and subject to a whole lot of manipulation by the industry to try and reduce the tax system or the tax amount like that. So the tax system that is being proposed for e-cigarettes is in fact a good one. However, it does leave a situation where especially disposable e-cigarettes will be taxed at such a low rate that it's not going to have any impact on the retail price, or not a significant impact on the retail price, and it's not going to do what it's meant to do, and that is especially to reduce consumption of e-cigarettes amongst the youth. So for that reason, I would really want to implore the Treasury to very strongly consider implementing a tax floor of 50 Rand or more on individual items, so that that's going to have a significant impact, especially for these products that are going to be used by, or typically get used by, the youth. Also, what I think we can learn from the carbon tax is a roadmap is necessary. I've listened to submissions regarding the carbon tax where the roadmap is as far as 2050. We're not proposing that we have a roadmap for excise taxes on tobacco products, but we are proposing for a roadmap for tobacco products up to 2050, but we are proposing for a roadmap for the next 5 or even 10 years, where you say we commit as government to increase the excise tax by inflation rate plus a certain percentage. And a good number there would be anything from 5 to 10%. Of course, keeping in mind that you need to have good systems in place to ensure that illicit trade does not become a significant issue. That's all I want to say. Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak to you.
Thank you. Then it's Department of Health.
Thank you, Chair. I have very few issues to raise from the department. I think the one is just to reiterate on what other colleagues have said about the low tax, that truly if the products should be taxed, the value should not be cosmetic. The idea is to reduce access and uptake. So low tax will not produce the desired health results that we expect. I do also want to indicate that the labeling, as indicated, of these vaping products is with the proposed bill that is now that is now with Parliament. So that part we are going to deal with. I wanted to also touch a little bit on the increase in the health promotion levy, Chair, that truly delaying this will not also help us as health to benefit or to get the desired results. I mean, so far, the low tax, we are aware that it has reduced the number of people who are actually purchasing the expensive sweetened cool drinks, and it has also encouraged industry to reformulate. So a higher tax would even really have more benefits for us. I also do want to touch, somebody talked about Dr. Fansale's study, which I think for us in terms of increasing access, it's a confirmation that our youth in high schools are using these products. So a higher price will definitely deter most of the youth, not necessarily the very rich ones who can afford it, but it will still deter most of the youth. I just thought I need to touch on that, but also the issue of ratification. I do want to support that it needs to be resuscitated, because it's a matter between health and finance that needs to be resuscitated. Would really appreciate that. Thank you, Chair.
Cancer, thank you, Madam. The Cancer Association, please.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Committee members. So cancer is concerned, just a short comment only, cancer is concerned that the proposed tax model will not achieve its purpose of protecting lives and in the long term, saving lives and decreasing the healthcare burden. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam. Then there's vaping. You said it's not here, am I right? Oh, they come in now. In Kulaleko, vaping is not.
It was vaping in South Africa that is not coming, Chair. Vaping saved my life. Is
vaping. Okay. Sir, if you're here, please come in now.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning to everybody. Thank you very much. I have made my submissions and hopefully get read.
Oh, so you don't want to say anything further in reply to what has been said this morning?
I think it was perfectly covered in our submissions, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. No, it's read. We can't not read it. Don't you worry. No, we can't do that. How are we going to write a report? And how are we going to negotiate a report? No, we read everything. We don't read it because there's so many, with every command, full stop in mind, but we measure that against what you said as well. So no, it's great. Okay, then can I move on to the last one? Let me see. Kosatu. Matthew, are you here?
No, good morning, Chair. Of course, we're here. We wouldn't miss out the opportunity to...
Yeah, but Matthew, you know what? We're getting tired of you now, really, with due respect, like Momo. Now, younger surface, right? And I'm gone in how many months? If I survive, it's another 14 months. So I'm sure you're sick of me just as I'm sick of you. But we need, you're too young, I suppose, but you need some sort of diversity, somebody who's different, somebody who doesn't use the same language as you but makes the same point. Okay, Matthew, I'm just teasing you. Welcome, always, as you know.
Sure.
Right. Matthew, I don't have to say because you're very good.
No, thanks, Chen. My colleague from SACTU helped us with the submission on the money laundering bill about a month ago, and I'm sure the standing committee thought, where does COSATU find all these white guys to come in? We've got a little factory somewhere producing them. Just quickly to the response from colleagues in Treasury. I think we, on the HBO, the health promotion levy, I think we appreciated the 1 year in terms of the master plan commitments, because I think we agree with Treasury, we need to give some space to an industry which is struggling. We don't think it's just struggling because of the HBL. We think it's struggling because of dietary changes which are necessary, but also because of a flood of cheap subsidized imports from Brazil and other countries. So I think we agree the principle, let's give some support for the sector to adjust as we also adjust our dietary patterns, which is necessary. And we think there's also a need to give support for the healthcare infrastructure too, which has to cope with the consequences of our bad life choices, so to speak. Chair, just into the tobacco issues, I think we want to also just kind of little point that we're waiting for the tobacco bill to come to an elected parliament. We hope it can come as quickly as possible. We really want this bill to be passed within this administration, given how, as you said, we're running out of time. I think there are many positive bill provisions which colleagues have highlighted from the civil society around measures to control the use of tobacco, etc. But of course, we can have very progressive laws, but we need to also see enforcement by government as well around the illicit front too. Because the law will only suit you so far. Just Chair, in terms of the carbon tax, we think that government is trying to find necessary in the balanced phase in. We do need to have a carbon tax. We do need for industry to adjust its polluting patterns, which affect the lives of workers, of communities, and so on. And if we fail to do so, we'll struggle to export many of our goods to the EU and other countries as they put in place the carbon tax regime. And of course, you have to address the issue of climate change, which you have seen in KZN and Mpumalanga. The Western Cape is real, it's here. I think we do support the project government about having a just phased in a transition, which does take into account the issue of jobs, of communities, of industries, etc. But I think just lastly, Chair, on the fuel tax. So, Chair, we had appreciated the kind of relief given between April and August this year to the economy, to commuters and to workers. We have begun NEDLAC engagements around, is the scope around the fuel tax to give some relief to commuters, to the economy? We think there is some space. So we hope those engagements will yield fruit and we'll do so move with speed quickly. Given that we're having a December fuel hike next week, Wednesday, I think about R1.50 a litre for petrol, et cetera. But Chair, we also think other measures which are critical, we think is for Parliament to continue to put pressure on the Department of Transport to table the RAF and the RAPS bills at Parliament so we can try to sort of the RAF crisis, which also has impact on the fuel price. But then we think lastly, Chair, there is a need also for Treasury to consider, we hope to agree in the February budget, to adjust the SOD grants for inflation, just to help cushion the most poor of our communities and our unemployed persons from the effects of the fuel price hikes, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's it from our side, Chen. I hope I've stuck to the...
You're losing 24 seconds more, but that's fine. In any case, many people didn't use it for 3 minutes. I'm going to throw it open now to the floor, but before I do, let me just explain for those of you who don't know me. I made some very facetious, silly, billy remarks that doesn't detract from the importance of what you're doing and my role as a chair. So please, for those of you who don't know me, it's not that I don't take what you're saying seriously. On the contrary. Secondly, it's all doom and gloom around us. And sometimes you have to sort of be silly about the things that we are facing instead of being all gloomy and doomy. So please just understand that we're very serious about our work, and we'll give the most, we have already begun actually, give the most serious attention we can. To say again, look, our colleagues, I really think, can I plead with you to understand this thing or to agree with me? It's very high quality treasury stuff that you're getting here. It's really a delight actually to engage with stakeholders of this substance. Also, it's very striking that it's women, comrades, colleagues, that are mainly speaking here. And I don't mean to patronize this, but it may have something to do with several of the issues dealing with health, the importance of control of our bodies and those sort of situations. It's to do with, you know, if you like, the crude genderized version of social welfareism, which is not meant to be a female role alone. And there are men here also speaking on both sides. So, you know, I really think this frankly, if we have people of this caliber around, why can't we just find the answers? And I think it goes to what, is that how you say your name? Is it Corney? From his structure. He talks about the need for trade-offs and not wanting to be in the invidious position the committee finds itself in. I think that's the nub of it, colleagues. I don't normally speak at the outset. Normally I speak at the end. But I have to say this. I have to provide some guidelines for this meeting. Frankly, you've got to help me because there's no use us blabbering on. We're not acting within what our legislative role is. But let me just put this to you. Connie, let's agree to this. It's not simply health versus commercial. It's health versus commercial versus economy. Growth and jobs. So when we find trade-offs, you will find often, in fact, I think it's in all parties to some or other degree, the balance is really jobs and health. And the one does reinforce the other, and they could be mutually destructive too. But it's about trade-offs. Now, if you can say that, you're not offering any trade-offs from what I can see. You are just explaining to us what you think is our set of challenges. We don't have the answers. We keep telling the NGOs, don't behave like politicians, really. Look for trade-offs. And there's no offer on any side of some sort of a significant sort, some sort of midway for now. So I agree with you, Kone, I hope you got your name right. But, you know, from what I can see, you're not helping us, not you, but all of you here, in finding the balances, if you like, or the trade-offs. And please, you know, Treasury, if possible, engage with all of them before you come back with bills that affect the sector, really. I mean, if I was in your shoes, now I know, Yanga, you're going to say you've got a million things to do, and Treasury's under siege, and you're understaffed, and blah, blah, I understand. But it's in all our interests, you, the Parliament, the country, if, you know, I would engage with all of these people really between now and February, as hard as it may be. So, you know, I really think what they say may not be up our street, as it were, in processing a bill right now. But what they're saying is of value to you, Treasury, in the first instance in SARS, particularly you, Treasury, before you bring amendments to the tax laws. And I really think, Esther and your team, you should put their submissions as fully as you can within the limits of, you know, the number of pages we try to stick to. So once again, I really want to thank you for the excellent inputs you have given us over this last two sittings. Right. Then I want to now say, Frank, can you help me here? So basically, I really think, Frank, this is what I'm suggesting to the committee, right? That when we have our discussion, we can respond to everything they're saying, but as far as possible, members can tell us what legislative amendments we can make based on what they've said. What legislative amendments can we make? That's what I'm keen on, to guide the committee. But you can respond to the broader policy issues in the first instance and what they've said. Okay, let's see whose hands are up. And you're free to disagree with what I said, obviously. Dennis, who else?
It's only Mr. Ryder for now, Chair.
Jadu? Okay, go for it, Dennis.
Yes, thanks very much, Chairperson. And I'm glad you ended with that comment that we're free to disagree with you. Chair, yeah, the first thing I wanted to disagree with a little bit is your assertion that as the NCOP, as the select committee, we have really only a provincial focus. And I mean...
That's not what I said. Let's not go there. That's not what I said. I'm saying we can look, like I said last week, link it to last week. I said that we give it second bite. But at the end of the day, we write a report to Parliament. Please note members who are here and others. And then they will report it. And if they say no on that side, that's the point of it. That's all.
Sure. Thank you, Chair. I just don't want our presenters and the members of civil society and the public to be discouraged from bringing their issues to our committee. Because I agree with you. I think that the inputs...
Yes, I agree. We should encourage them. Yes. I think we're on the same page. Maybe it's a choice of words. I withdraw that. We're on the same page.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much. Yes, because I do believe the NCOP does have a senatorial role to play with Section 77 and 75 bills, although we certainly have less input than we do on Section 76 bills. But this is a money bill, or these are money bills. So, yes, we have some sort of senatorial role. So, please, members of the public civil society, thank you for your submissions. As the chair has already stated, I think that we've had lots of food for thought, certainly. We clearly have, you know, in all arguments, two sides of the coin. Some of the issues and some of the trade-offs, certainly, that we're currently grappling with. And it's for the finance committees of both houses, but also for the health committee, the DTI, all of these players to find balance. And I think that this is one of the big issues. Now, I've noted Treasury, and I think that they were comprehensive and indicated that they have read the submissions and they have taken the thing seriously. So I appreciate that. But one of the big trade-offs, and something that I mentioned in our last meeting, which Treasury hasn't responded to today, that they've focused really on the submissions of the various presenters. But one of the issues that came up very strongly during our visit to KwaZulu-Natal was the issue of the health promotions levy, the sugar tax. And the fact that this has had a devastating effect on, you know, many people living in KwaZulu-Natal. The issue is, I mean, what caused me to raise it when we had our last meeting was the headline from Tonga Tulo going into business rescue. But I think that on the ground in KwaZulu-Natal and in the submissions that we saw last week when we were taking Parliament to the people, it became eminently clear, abundantly clear, that the knock-on effect of the sugar tax has been quite devastating, you know, not only to the commercial farmers like Tongaat Hewlett, but also to the emerging farmers and the small-scale farmers, because what's happened is that a number of the mills have closed down, and now the guys that were growing, you know, on half an acre, growing a little bit of sugar cane in the backyard and living hand-to-mouth almost based on that, have also had a massive impact because they no longer have anywhere to take the cane that they've grown for bile. So it's a massive trade-off that we play all the time. Again, Chair, a further comment that I wanted to make to the presenters, you know, often it is a little bit, I suppose, unfortunate when you make your presentation and you don't see an immediate change. But I think that understanding the process of public participation in the budgeting cycle is important. So where there is often a hope for immediate and dramatic change from your input, such changes are kind of unlikely at best. But there is substantial benefit to be had from repeated participation over time, because that's how you influence policy. So I think when Treasury builds a budget, it takes a massive amount of time and it addresses most demands. And, you know, so last minute tweaks and changes need to be carefully managed to make sure they don't throw the balance out. And bigger policy shifts also take a substantial amount of time to build into the budget. So it should not deter people from having your say. The ideas that you raise in public participation are always recorded, discussed. The stuff is definitely read. And, you know, both in the conclusion of the current budget and then more importantly, I guess, in the assimilation of the next budget. So, Chair, no real responses or comments directly at what we've heard. We didn't hear a lot new today. We had affirmation of stances. We have had Treasury making some comments, which I thought were really appreciated. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Who's next? Look, while people are coming in, let me just raise, I was looking for the document of notes, which I can't find. So firstly, I thought I should point out that, you see, when you look at the draft rates and monetary bill, we're dealing there. Now, Frank, can you help me with that? As I know it, we're not going to be, when the last term committee constituted itself, we raised this issue about, well, we get the increases in customs and excise, and then we subject it to a public hearing, but it comes into effect immediately. So what is the point of having these public hearings, and what can the parliamentary committee do about receiving submissions which they may agree with, and then, you know, you effect the change, and then it means that the changes come into effect the next year. But in the meanwhile, Treasury goes ahead and implements the increase, and then what happens now if the committee decides it thinks the increase should have been 2% less, how you return the money and so on. So we asked for some advice, and we got legal and research advice that said that basically this is done the world over. Treasury spent a lot of time explaining to us how you can't submit it for public hearings, say, increasing tobacco or alcohol rates, then people will run and stockpile. By the time you process it, well, 4 months later, they've stacked up and so on. And there are market sensitivities about a lot of these issues. And so we finally gave in. Now, there was a threat by a civil society cluster of organizations to take us to court on that matter. And we said do, but the chances, it seems, are very limited because there's no other way of dealing with rates and monetary bills. So insofar as we're dealing with the issues that fall under there, we note what you say, but it's not as if we can make a change easily unless something utterly absurd has happened and we all agree it has to be changed and we tell Treasury, well, you brought this absurd clause to us or bill to us, and you've got to sort it out. But at this stage, members, can we think about this? I don't think that applies in the case of the three issues raised under it, right? I really think, for example, the tobacco increase, it's 5.5%. It's below the 7% inflation. Now, the Treasury explained why that is the case, and presumably they will seek to adjust that in the next cycle. On the postponements of the sugar tax, I think members, this is what this is the approach we have taken when the bill came to us. Now, Yaga, can I ask, whereas initially, before we finalized the bill, or at least the clauses on the health promotion levy, we insisted, and it happened for the first time ever. Some of you were saying, we're not saying you necessarily, it's never been done before, the ticket tax vote. And then like we said, well, do it for the first time. Kosatu was there, Matthew needs to say was there. And if I recall correctly, he did report to the committee and he said to me, look, there have been negotiations and it's a complex thing, a very complex thing, right? It's about the farmers, established and emerging, the workers, the health lobby, the Department of Health, SARS, and a whole lot of other stakeholders as well. Now, Dennis raises the matter about what emerged in our Inviso last week in our public hearings. And obviously, KZN felt very strongly about the South Ocean Limit, because that's where primarily the sugar industry is located. And they use the same arguments, the progressive ones about workers, the KZN economy, and African farmers also, and black farmers more generally, but then established farmers as well. So it's a very difficult one. And committee members, can you apply your mind to this? Because it seems to me it's too complex an issue that can be resolved without the appropriate consultation. So, you know, members, can you apply your mind to that and decide what each of you and the parties you come from feel? A similar issue on e-cigarettes and so on. Once again, you know, we read stuff in the paper that's not scientific necessarily, or sometimes the articles deal with an overview of a scientific article in a scientific journal, done usually by a health journalist. But, you know, it's hard for us to say. When e-cigarettes first came out, some of us thought, well, if you can't get people to stop smoking, maybe this is the way forward. And then there were a whole lot of studies done about whether it does have less of an effect, harmful effect on people or not. And that debate continues. And really, that's more for the Health Portfolio Committee and Health Select Committee to guide us on. I don't know that we can, you know, as MPs in the Finance Committee, we're guided by the Department of Health for now, and especially, more importantly, the parliamentary committees, who are main part of core, not the executive. So there's a proposal about 25% on tax on cigarettes. Now, for those of you who are fully opposed to smoking, that's perfectly reasonable. But there are consequences also for the economy and for jobs and so on. And we need trade-offs. 25% seems to me an exorbitant increase, but members can reflect on that. To tell us that it occurs in all provinces, well, when we're talking of national, we mean all provinces, obviously. What we mean is the tax affecting provinces differentially from national? And in that context also, is one province more affected than others? Well, yes, KZN is more affected than others, because that's where the sugar industry is. And obviously, where there are higher population figures, it's probably likely that there are more smokers. So in that sense, also it affects. But the revenue is drawn national. And decisions about how you allocate provincial equitable share are not dictated by considerations of jobs and contribution of each province to the cigarette industry, and the tax South gets on it, dealt with by National Treasury in its calculations by a formula. I think basically the committee needs to, Frank, can you guide us here? Can you speak in your words about what we're supposed to do here? I mean, we have, Dennis has a senatorial role. It has different meanings in different I see what you're saying, Dennis. No, I'm agreeing. That's not the point. Look, Frank, you have to guide us now. We have what Dennis calls a senatorial, means like a review role. I don't know what the right word is to give a second consideration. Maybe that's the way to say it. A second consideration to national issues in Section 75 and 75 rules that are referred to us. That we have to do is right. I overemphasize the word. But then when it comes to amendments to a bill, what are we supposed to do? When it comes to a national issue, we can then say, look, we would like the National Assembly Standing Committee on Finance to look at this issue again for the following reason, right? And secondly, there may be specific amendments we want to make, and then beyond that, that we can make. So can you guide us on this?
Chairperson, good morning, first of all, to yourself and honorable members, as well as my colleagues and the media and public on the platform. Chair, I've actually got very little to add, but what maybe just a different angle on it, because it's exactly what is happening here. We've spoken about KwaZulu-Natal. We've spoken about the tax bills, and we've identified the three policy issues, one of them being the sugar tax or the health tax. That will certainly affect people in KwaZulu-Natal. So when one looks from it from the sort of National Assembly side, one will look at the issue of from purely national to say, well, we have this national issue of, a few years ago it was debated, the issues of obesity, the issues of diabetes, and therefore we've called this now a health tax, and there were all kinds of debates on both sides of the coin there. When this thing now, and what we see today in the NCOP, the committee is concerned about the impact on KwaZulu-Natal. Maybe there's a specific group in KwaZulu-Natal who wants to deal with this. That will be now the National Council of Provinces switch to say, well, this is what we want to be discussed at national level. So if you want to, the two options, of course, Chair, as we've always said and practiced, one being to put in the report that this is a matter of concern and we want to look specifically at how this tax is affecting a certain group of people, namely the cane growers, KwaZulu-Natal, or even manufacturers through the country which deal in sugar. So one can look at that to see how this is being affected. And that would be, according to me, the role of the NCOP. Even when we speak about the senatorial role, I mean, the senatorial role, and I assume we're looking here at more of the American model, but it's very similar in Germany and South Africa and Canada for that matter, where we have representatives, equal number of representatives from each province, so that there can be this kind of debate between provinces at the national level about matters that affect them provincially. And that to me is the core function of the NCOP. What you said earlier, the division of revenue, well, that would be a core function of the NCOP. That's not to say that they play an insignificant role in other legislation. They just play a different role because the focus of the legislation is different. Chair, I want to actually, to make it a bit more practical for committee work, when we as a committee receive submissions, of course, what the committee can do if you want to deal with the bill itself, is that you need some kind of proposal how to affect the policy debate in the legislation. What can we do? Where's the clause that can deal with it? What are the problems? What are the challenges with this? Not all taxes are the same, Chair, and Mr. Thomas Sek is my senior by the quadruple, I don't know how many times on this one, Chair, but how I understand that, and he can please correct me once I've humiliated myself, but how I see these taxes is that they don't always kick in at the same time. Generally, they are implemented before the legislation is signed. Should the legislation not be signed, the tax bills not be signed by the end of the year, I think it's end of the year. Sometimes it's the end of the financial year, but usually by the end of the year. If they're not signed, then the whole proposal will fall down and the money that has been collected must be paid back. South, I assume, has methods on this, but they haven't always been as fast to pay back, and I say this with a grin. They've not always been as fast to pay back the money than they have been in collecting the money, but I think one must be happy that they are collecting money. It's just when it's your own money being collected, you feel a bit bitter. But Chair, that to me, that was just a joke. The issue is really, I mean, what can the committee do? The committee at this point in time makes a report and it can propose amendments, only propose amendments to the bill, which will then go back to the National Assembly. And those to get the information from the public, from departments, and from Treasury,
would be to say, in the first instance, report what are the policy issues and what can we do about it. If those policy issues are strong enough, then one goes to the bill and we amend the bill. Chair, maybe not a very good example, but an example is when we have, and that was when you were still chairing the standing committee, the 1% increase in the value-added tax, and what does that mean to the public at large? And we then, as a committee, there was then a request to amend the bill to include the reporting function. So it wasn't really a substantive change to the rate of taxes, but nothing stops the committee from looking at that. And of course, the budget office, there would be instrumental, Parliament's budget office, to come forth and say, what are the projections if we go 1.5% either way of a tax rate, and what would the impact of that be? Chair, that's my input for now, Chairperson. I hope I've answered your question. Thanks.
Yeah, what Dennis has done is that he's put the provision of the Constitution, which I think we're all familiar with. I was just looking at how that provision in the Constitution is implemented in practice on specific bills. I actually don't think there's any difference. It's my clumsy wording between what Dennis is saying and what I'm saying. And I don't think there's any difference what you're saying and what I am saying. And Dennis is saying, really, it's partly to help us as MPs to be clearer, because one of the things I have been raising with the powers that be is the way the NCOP operates. We are often becoming like a National Assembly Mark II. And the next time we have a workshop on these things, I really think we should look at that. We have a distinct role, though. You know, anyway, let's not go there for now. So also Peter raised the thing, yeah, I worded it very clumsily. I understood what you said. It's not a 25% tax proposal increase. He says it's 25% increase on the current tax. Yes, yes, I said it wrongly. But what's more interesting is that he says that the WHO's target minimum is 75%. And he holds that our tax element will be comparatively low. Now, can National Treasury and SARS respond to Peter? But before we ask National Treasury to do that, I think what Frank is saying is what we've been saying, which is that we will need this committee to look specifically, not because I happen to come from there, but, you know, the specific, and I didn't raise it, obviously, the KZN issue about how it affects tax. And if there are any other things that the researchers can find about how aspects of this bill, of these three bills, impacts on a specific province, then I think we should mention that and draw it to the attention of the provincial legislatures, and obviously give it our report. Now, having said that, can we respond to Peter, please? Who wants to go first, Yanga? You see his point in the chat group. Yanga? Mpo?
Thanks, Chair. I mean, with regards to what Peter has raised, I mean, the current rate with regards to cigarette, is 19 rands 82 cents per pack of 20, which equates, because currently we're using the most popular brand per category of tobacco, which the reference for cigarette is Peter Stuyvesant. So if you take the 19 rands 82 per pack of 20 and looking at the price of Peter Stuyvesant, I think currently is around 43 rands, 44 rands. So basically it makes the excise on cigarette to be around 43%. So I'm not quite sure what from the numbers that Peter was showing around 7% or so. I'm not quite sure, because the current excise tax burden in terms of the reference price that we are using for Peter Stuyvesant, it gives us a tax incidence of about 43% on cigarettes. So I'm not quite sure, Chair, Maybe I'll engage with Peter just to understand basically the numbers that he's using there. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, I was going to suggest that can you and Peter exchange and then submit to us a one pager giving us your reply, if possible, before we adopt our report. Is that okay, Mpho?
We'll do that after this meeting, Chair.
Good. Okay, thanks very much for that. Can we then ask members what else you want to raise for now? Because the next meeting will start with looking at the policy issues each of our members wants to take on the matters, and then we will hear party political points, if there are any, and then we will start looking at the bill clause by clause. So, who's available to speak or wants to say anything for now? Oh, I see nobody. Okay, the next meeting on this bill, if I'm right, is next Wednesday, 10 o'clock. We're considering tax. I suppose this has been negotiated with Lubabalo and so on, and Kululeko. So if that's the case, am I right? Next Wednesday is when we look at this bill again. Am I right, Lubabalo? I mean, in Kululeko?
That's correct, Chairperson.
Right. Now, for now, to the stakeholders, we want to thank you very, very much. I think Dennis put it very well, which is you may not get what you want right now in this process, but, you know, by raising these issues, you are infiltrating our subconscious, if not conscious, and over time, you're battling Treasury. Don't ever give up on doing that, and don't ever give up on battling us. This is your parliament, as we keep saying, more than it's ours. We're just the custodians, as we keep saying, for 5 years. So, you know, just keep doing it. And the meetings are virtually, most of them, and hybrid in some cases, but you can access it very easily from any part of the country you're in. So thank you for that. We will, if you want to stay, you can. I'll just ask for now, just to give some guidance, because some things are emerging clearer now. Does anybody want to say what they feel about the policy issues that have emerged? I have suggested three things. I'm not saying we decide now. Is anybody else going to say anything? I don't see any hand up for now, so fine, let's leave it. Then can we move to the second item, as it were? We're looking at the program, colleagues. This was sent to you last night, but Nkululeko is having, like we all are, connectivity issues. So it may have got to some people and not others. He's going to put it on the screen now. Are you going to do that, Nkululeko? Yeah, he's taking it. So, well, we have already covered today, Tuesday. Now, tomorrow, we're having the public hearings on the General Laws Amendment Bill. In Kululeko, do you know so far how many submissions we received?
For now, Chairperson, we have two.
Only two?
But
okay.
I just spoke to Latu. They will be sending their submission today.
Okay, so there's three, right? Then this Friday, we are responding from Treasury side on the submissions received on the GLAB bill, I'll call it. Just call it the realisting bill. That's, it says 13-0, I think that's a typographical thing or a misunderstanding. Obviously, we're sitting till 1 o'clock, I think, with appropriations. We can't just immediately go into a meeting. And even if the meeting finishes earlier, we're the same people. We can decide to convene earlier. But we decided on 14.00 to 17.00. Can you please make that change? And Kululeko has done it on the screen already. Thanks, Kululeko. Now, here, excuse me. We have no choice, colleagues. So I really would suggest that Lubabalo and Kululeko meet and give us one program overall, so that we clear up, because it's the same committee, so to merge the two programs and ensure there's no clashes. Now, obviously, we have to pass all the bills we have in both sides, both committees, before we run. But if we can't leave, we'll have to have an extra week of sittings. So where there's a need to like negotiate concessions, we're on committee. The secretary will sort it out and then confer with the respective chairs. So this for now is a draft program. Then on Tuesday next week, we consider it clause by clause. And then on the 2nd of December, we finalize the bill, if possible. Otherwise, we will meet on Monday, the 1st December, on Monday, the 4th of December, from 10:00 to 13:00. If we don't finish then, we will sit the whole day if we have to, because that's the last week of parliamentary sittings on the NCOP side. I have spoken to the powers that be last week about this, and there seems to be at the moment a reluctance to have an extra week of sittings. And secondly, there are negotiations taking place between the NCOP leadership and the NA leadership about these bills coming when they do. For once, we must really accept that, not for once, we must accept that SCOF had less to do with the delays than the executive treasury. But we don't want a discussion on that. If you want more information, you can speak to me offline. Right. So basically what we're asking for, is this program broadly agreeable, bearing in mind that you, you know, might have to juggle things around a bit, because appropriations also has got onerous deadlines to meet before the 6th, I think, is the last day that we sit. I'm not sure. I think the Thursday of that week, of Monday the 4th. So what is it, 7th? Okay, over then to other members on the program. Yes, Dennis?
Yeah, thanks very much. I actually raised my hand initially just to make the same request that you made already for that that combined program, because it certainly does make it a lot easier for us to have it all in one space. And then, Chair, I wanted to say that I've got about 2 hours on Sunday over lunchtime that haven't been filled by anyone yet. So you know, I'm going to welcome. Just stick something in there as well, because
we have to be a welcome match. You can watch that, please. 4 billion. I mean, imagine this, colleagues. 4 billion people will be watching this thing. 4 billion people. It's astonishing. $300 billion have been spent on this tournament. It's just surrealistic. Can you imagine $300 billion? What percentage of that does Qatar give in development aid? Let's not go there or touch its own staff and staff that are there as migrants. Let's not go there. But you know what? There's nothing wrong for us to express those views. It's about things that are in our constitution anyway. All right. So, you know, unless there's somebody else who's got any wise idea on what we do, except Dennis's proposal, I think let's leave it for now and play it by ear. Does Dikelani want to say anything? Because she might have some knowledge that we don't have about what's pending for appropriations. We've got the programmers from Lubavada. But I mean, these two secretaries are very organized. They've sort of Dikelani, do you want to say anything?
Manin Chair, no, I don't have anything to say. I think Nkululeko and Lubavada will sort it out.
Okay. All right. Thank good. Thank you very much. Bye then.
Recording stopped.